Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, talking about a subject that's near and dear to your heart this week, legacy, part of the name of the show, even Legacy and Faith Show, talking about legacy. Last week, you got us into this subject, and we're continuing this week.
Yeah, this really is near and dear to my heart, and it really allows me to take both things that I love. I really do enjoy my work. I enjoy being an attorney. I love helping people put together estate plans. But at the core of who I am, I love Jesus and I love being able to talk about the Word of God. And this word legacy really allows me to blend these two together. So this really is a topic of passion for me.
And a quick definition again for people who weren't here last week, although they can listen at legacyandfaith.com.
That's right. Yep. Head back and listen to the podcast.
But what's your definition? What do you think is the biblical definition of legacy?
Well, and we talked a little bit about that last week, which is there really isn't just one scripture I can take you to. But for most people, I think what we end up doing is we end up going to Proverbs. And in Proverbs 13:22, it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." And so what we find out with that scripture is that I believe it's the heartbeat of God for us as individuals to think generationally, not just about where the leftover money goes, or when I'm gone, who gets my money? That is such a small definition of legacy. And actually, really, Proverbs 20:21, which I did not mention last week, so we'll throw it in right here, is that leaving money and money alone really doesn't fulfill legacy. And the word warns us about this, because Proverbs 20:21 says, "An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end." And what I think that is talking about is statistically, 90% of people will spend their inheritance within 18 months or less. Mm. And so,
no matter how big it is.
Really, no matter how big it is. I could tell you stories of people spending in 2 years or less over $1 million, and it just blows my mind. But that is the story. It is the condition of the human heart that has not been trained. Okay, now, if we've done a good job in training our kids, then we know that they won't depart from it. And we'll get back to that. But Proverbs 20:21 is talking about if you just simply hand money to somebody, that statistically it will be gone very quickly. And I know you think your kids are very responsible, but I just see it all the time, and I see a different story all the time. And so this issue of really creating legacy instead of just leaving money is a critical difference, what I think should be discussed between a biblical model versus a world model. The world just simply says, when your kids are older, let them go. They're adults. Let them be. And then just leave everything you have at the end. And I don't see that biblically. I see a very different heartbeat. I see a generational heartbeat in scripture, as we've talked about. And so if we follow the world's model of saying, I'm just going to use a will and I'm going to write a check, because that was at the very end of last week's discussion. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, listen to last week's discussion. It's the kind of the setup for this week. Then really my concern is that the Bible is right. You don't have to believe me, but maybe you might believe what God says. And God says in Proverbs 20:21 that if you gain an inheritance quickly, that it will not be blessed at the end. The reason is because you don't have anything at the end. So how can you bless something that you don't have control or dominion over anymore? God can only bless what you have exercised dominion over. And so therefore, if you no longer have money, it's really tough for him to bless and continue to perpetuate his goals and his kingdom's passion and vision on this earth through you if you don't have it anymore. So therefore, that's what I really think the disparity between a biblical model versus the worldly model is.
Did you want to go over the estate planning life cycle again real quick?
Sure. And it's a good setup for our discussion here, because at the beginning of the estate planning life cycle, so it's a circle. So imagine me going through these and you seeing them come into a circle. It's not a straight line of a step, because a straight line falls off a cliff eventually. So a circle means that we continue to perpetuate the cycle, and that's what we want. So number one is we explore and educate. You need to have right knowledge of what estate planning is and is not. We need to engage and create. So we always have to take a step. If you are in the sound of my voice, if you can hear this, then you need to do estate planning. So you just can't let it be. Number three is financial integration. We have to have all our finances integrated to the plan. Number four, continuation commitment. We need to be continually committed to our estate plan, because life changes, the law changes, taxes change. So you can't just have a one and done mentality. The document will fail you. Family reception. We need to prepare the next generation. That's the training up and the way that they should go. And then when they are old, they will not depart from it. Well, most of us haven't done sufficient financial training and legacy training, so we need to accommodate that. Life adjustments is number six. The plan has to be flexible enough to accommodate adjustments in your life. Number seven is the settlement system. In other words, when you pass away, we have to have a process and a system in place so that what we have created leaves the easiest transition for those that are left behind. And then we get to eight, which is legacy fulfillment. So we're up at the top of the circle, probably like the 11th, at 11 o'clock on a, if you're thinking of a clock, and we're about ready to move that generation into exploration and education, and it starts all over at the next generation. So we're talking about that last leg, the legacy fulfillment. That's where my passion is. We want legacy to be fulfilled, both with your finances and with your passion for God.
And last week, you kind of left off talking about the legal ways that this is done, and one method is a will and one method is a trust.
Yeah, and we talked about a will, that it fulfills three distinct purposes. It tells us who is to manage the estate, who gets the money, and then if you have minor children, it's good for guardianship. We need to have a will if you have minor children, so you got to have that as a starting block minimally. Otherwise, it's a whole court process, and it's an ugly court process if you have minor children. And so, but we talked about that a will is just simply a check writing instrument. It ends up getting money to the hands of somebody. That's a good thing. It's good that we get it to the right people, but a beneficiary designation does the same. But then we run into this competing biblical philosophy, which is an inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end, because we just wrote checks. So then that brought us to the beginning portion of what is a trust, and how does that fit really within this biblical model? And so we want to talk more about, well, what does a trust do, and how might it fulfill a legacy versus just writing checks? So we're going to take up the discussion of a trust here for just a couple minutes.
Okay.
So a trust, if you can think of a cup. If you had a cup of coffee, because I like coffee, then the cup represents the legal document, and the coffee represents everything that you own in, as far as bank accounts, investments, your home, maybe a life insurance policy. So everything that you have that is worth anything is the coffee. So in other words, we build the cup first. My job as an attorney is to listen to your heart's desires. What is the picture that God has painted in your heart? And what do you want to fulfill generationally? What is your vision? What has he given you? And so my job is to take those things and create a legal document to capture that vision. And that ends up being the cup. The cup holds everything. It then defines what that vision and what that legacy looks like. So let's say it's called the Grant Family Trust, because lo and behold, that's what mine is actually called. So therefore, the Grant Family Trust, so my wife and I's trust, now has the cup. It is defined by the legal system. Now, we have taken our assets and we put them into the name of the Grant Family Trust. So the reason that's so important is that that's like pouring the coffee in. Every time you have any asset, it goes into the cup. That means, that's kind of funny, Mark, because Mark just took a drink of coffee as I'm talking about this. So thank you for that distraction there for a half a second. That was very good. So now we have coffee represents the assets. Anytime you put an asset in the cup, the cup's instructions attach to that asset. Now, just like Mark did, if he had a trust, he could lift up his cup and drink from it. So in other words, he's in full control during his lifetime. He can choose to give away some of his belongings. He can choose to consume it. He can choose to be generous. He can choose to then have change the discussion points or the terms of the trust. So in other words, he's in full and absolute control of the trust, which is what we want. Everyone likes control. That's because we're created in God's image and God is in control. And so therefore, we have a semblance of control that we are to exert control over what God has put under our care. It's called stewardship. And so therefore, during our lifetime, we are in control of those assets. So nothing is given away. But a trust does two things that a will really cannot. Number one is that it's a living document. So you get to then put in instructions during your lifetime. So if I became ill during my lifetime, I would want someone who would then pick up my trust called a successor trustee. I would want to give them very clear instructions on what to do with my finances in order to care for me. So if I was unable to manage my money, and 75% of us will experience some type of disability in our lifetime, and that's if you reach the age of 65. So if you're already 65 or older, the bad news is that you have a 75% chance that you will need someone to come alongside of you and give you assistance at one time or another during your lifetime. And we need to make sure that you are well taken care of. That's my first job as an attorney. So a trust, in my opinion, does that better than a power of attorney, because we can give more explicit instructions on what your vision is and how you want your finances used during your lifetime. So we want to give really strong a discussion of how to take care of me should someone else need to step into managing my finances for me. Then number two, as we head into break here, number two is then what happens to everything should I die? And we need to accommodate a surviving spouse if you're married. We need to then take care of children, or we need to take care of charities or other family members. It just depends on your family situation. But then a trust will manage that going forward so that your vision that God has given you could be ultimately fulfilled. And that's how we create generational planning. We'll get back to that right after break about how does a trust then carry on after I have passed away.
Okay, discussing legacy and how to fulfill that legacy with a trust or a will and so on and so on. A lot of information here this week. Do you cover some of this in your online seminars? You have one of these coming up?
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, a lot of this is discussed, the difference between a will and a trust, how to do proper estate planning. And like Mark just said, we do have a biblical perspective workshop coming up to estate planning. It's October 14th at 6 p.m. It's going to be online only. You need to go to our website to register. Otherwise, we can't get you the online registration link. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for October 14th at 6 p.m.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to remind you that coming up on October 14th at 6 p.m., we have another estate planning workshop, A Biblical Perspective. So head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Sign up. You need the link. There's no cost to attend. It's going to be online only. But head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our October 14th, 6 p.m. workshop. I'm excited to see you there.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, getting real specific this week on how to accomplish our legacy and what legacy is about, and talking about the trust, the living trust, as it's often called. And Paul, you're a big fan of this method.
Yeah, because what I see is that a will does accomplish a couple things well, and I don't want to make light of that. But at the end of the day, it simply writes a check. That's its purpose. And it's called simple for a reason, a simple will, because it simply moves money. That's its goal. That's its purpose. And in order to really effectuate long-term generational vision, money can't just be handed over. It needs to be protected. It needs to have instructions and guidelines. And so a trust is really the only way that we can actually implement those parts of fulfilling legacy. So what do I mean by that? Well, when I pass away, then a trust doesn't simply just give money outright. Well, it can. It could be a great technique to make sure that your assets avoid probate, because when it's done well and when your assets are financially integrated to the trust, it should avoid the probate process. It should allow for a private family closing. And it should give rich instructions on how to care for you during your lifetime. And so specifically for single clients, if you don't have children, I think a trust is your greatest protection to ensure that your finances are used properly to care for you. So I think that there's far more in a trust that can be accomplished than just leaving money. But at the end, if it was your value to simply say, "I am going to write a check to people, and I understand your heartbeat, Paul, in trying to create generational legacy, but the ultimate desire I have, or what the Holy Spirit has told me, is to simply leave money to blank ministries or to these people," so be it, and perfect. Then a trust can also accomplish that purpose, but there would be other things that it would do well, even better than a will. So therefore, I do utilize trusts, but that's okay. If you talk to a different attorney, they may have a different perspective. But look, get two attorneys in a room and we can't agree on virtually anything anyway. So that's just the way it is. Heck, sometimes I look at myself and just argue with myself, so I don't even need a second attorney. So utilizing, there will be other attorneys who say a will in Washington is all you need. I understand that perspective. I don't agree with it, but that's okay. I understand it. So in thinking through legacy, what happens is that instead of leaving money outright, in other words, writing the check, we have each beneficiary receive what's called a trust share. In other words, it's held in trust for them. Now, there's several benefits. When a trust is ran properly, that's a huge caveat. When it's ran properly, because if it's not ran properly, it can even the best intentions could be destroyed. But when it's ran properly, then there are inherent protections that come across in a trust. So number one is that a trust, an inherited trust, is never put in the Social Security number of the inheritor. So number one, it's never legally their money. They're the beneficiary of it. They get to receive the benefit thereof according to whatever the instructions say, but it's never their possession. So think of if someone was being divorced, or what if they made a simple driving error and they ran into somebody? Well, if it's never their legal possession, then it sets up the opportunity. Again, I'm using language that says this is a possibility, not that it will absolutely happen, but it sets up the possibility, when it's ran properly, to be a shield against those types of potential claims. Because if I was to get divorced, my wife would have a claim against what we have. But when ran properly, she may not have a claim against what my parents left me. In addition, if I ran into somebody, I wasn't even texting or being irresponsible. I made a driving error, because we see that all the time. Well, I would have a creditor after me, and after insurances, if I really injured somebody or even, God forbid, killed somebody, that could be a $1 million lawsuit. And so they could come after me personally again, but they may not be able to get to my inheritance, which is protected and shielded in a trust. So that's a possibility. Again, I want to be very broad in my language. It has to be ran right. It has to be set up properly. It has to meet legal specifications, and it has to be done very well. So therefore, those are possibilities. Is it most people's passion and heart that if we leave something? So I have two daughters. I'll use my own life. If something were to happen to me, and money went to my girls, number one, they're in their young 20s, so would I want to give them just an unlimited opportunity to spend money recklessly and carelessly? Doesn't matter how great they are. So the first answer is no. Number two, if they got married and that marriage didn't work out, would I want my son-in-law, who, by the way, is just not good enough for my daughters, I don't even know who they are yet, but would I want them to walk away with what I have spent a lifetime trying to earn? And most parents would go, no. And so if that's the answer, then we can't just give money away. See, legacy is about protecting. Legacy is about fulfilling a long-term generational thought process that protects the family. And I think that aligns biblically. Did you know that Abraham, the father of our faith, in Genesis 25:5, it says, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of his concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave a gift." So here we have Abraham is still alive. So think about that. I know, a different culture, there were different reasons, but the biblical point is that a patriarch set up very specific things to be carried out. As a matter of fact, Abraham spent an entire lifetime training his son to receive. He spent a lifetime training Isaac on how to care for the family and the family structure. Again, if that has not been what we've done for a lifetime, which is kind of why I, I kick against that thought process of when the kids are old, just kick them out and have nothing to do with them anymore. They're adults. They'll figure it out. No, we don't figure it out. How many mistakes could have been saved if we had had a better relationship with and mentors in our life, both as a practical sense in finances and in a biblical spiritual sense of how much more protected would have we been with strong mentors? That's what I think a biblical model is. And so we need to have a financial structure of safety that says, this is how I want to pass things off so that things are well protected for you generationally. And then as I've trained you up to follow after the heartbeat of God, and as I've demonstrated to you how to seek after the Holy Spirit and listen to Him so that He can give you a vision, now all of a sudden, we're starting to create something that I think blends more with a biblical heartbeat than a worldly heartbeat. So it is my perspective, and you don't have to share it. It's just my perspective that as we look at the world's perspective of the kids are on their own and let's just give them money at the end of our life, I'm not sure that that blends with a biblical generational heart of God. And so if we stop and think about it, if we can seek after Him, if we can gain wisdom on how to do this well, and as we look through how do we leave things behind in a protected manner that will fulfill generational legacy, then I think we can come up with something very special. I'm not going to dictate what that is for you. That's between you and God. But what I can do is help you in a biblical sense create something that you envision and then help you create that on a legal front to ensure that it actually will pass on generationally. Well, if this resonates with your heartbeat, then head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. We have an upcoming session, an educational workshop with a biblical perspective on estate planning, October 14th at 6 p.m. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts. You can sign up for this October 14th workshop. Would love to meet you. It's going to be online only. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.